Thank you, Lord. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We went to Autumn Assembly this week. Wow, what a time. Billy Bram is such an amazing teacher. Lynn Hammond is so acquainted with prayer. There's just no one like her. There is no one like her. She was so wonderful. We had such a great time and enjoyed everybody there. Wonderful prayer. We had times of prayer for the awakening, and it was just such a blessing. It was such a blessing. The Lord is so gracious. When Pastor was speaking during when Pastor was speaking during pre-service prayer this morning, she just started saying things that Holy Spirit is just sweet, that what she comes out of her mouth, I'm like, okay, I'm on the right page. I'm on the right page. I know what I'm doing. I was telling the girls on the way home, I was like, sometimes it's just that moment again where I'm like, I do hear from the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and you should be grateful for that. Don't take it for granted. I mean, think about that. You have the creator of the universe who speaks to you. He speaks to you. Isn't that wonderful? Think about how amazing it is. And then he created you because he wanted to hang out with you. He wanted to be with you. I mean, don't take those things lightly. Don't take that you were created to walk with God lightly. We're not just doing life as usual. We aren't just the mundane of wake up, go to work, come home, do it again the next day. We gotta break that. That's how the world does life. We do life with God. Amen? Alright, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example, as well-beloved children imitate their father. And we're going to go through a lot of this chapter, but I'm going to stop right there for now. So that Greek word there is mimetes. It means imitators, followers, or to mimic. It's like an actor or someone in the performing arts. So it's actually taking the character of God and becoming that very thing. It's the modeling of a parent, a teacher, or a champion. And when an actor takes on a part, when they are part of a play or part of a theater production, they begin to take on everything, especially when they're playing a real character. They begin to study that character. And they begin to see how they operate, and they begin to mimic their voice, and they begin to listen to the inflections of their tone, and they begin to see their mannerisms and how they do things, how they speak to people, how they look at people, facial expressions even. I've heard several stories where actors get so far into character for so long that sometimes they have trouble breaking out of that place. That their identity is then moving in that who they're acting, who they're creating as. That they begin to move and go into that place. Now, you don't want to do that with just anyone. But this says to be an imitator of God. Be like he is. The word therefore, so Brother Hagin always told us to see what it's there for, but this word before actually means to be constantly becoming. Be constantly becoming an imitator of God. Don't just let it happen one time. Don't just think, okay, I was born again, moving on. No, you are in a constant life. When you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it became a lifestyle to you. It became where everything would change. We are stepping into a new time. Maybe you haven't noticed, but things are a lot different now than they were just a few short years ago. Maybe you haven't noticed, but transition is happening. Maybe you haven't noticed, but We are coming to a final push of the age. It's time for us to stop playing church. It's time for us to get serious about what we're doing. It's time for us to really focus in on what's important. It's time for us to stop putting the God things aside to make things work in our own accord. And I feel like every time that the Lord's had me to minister, it's been about, all right, we got to sharpen the ship. We got to sharpen the ship. We're moving into something deeper. It's time to get the troops in order. We have an army moving now. We need to make sure that stuff is shipped up, shaped up, ready to move forward. We can't be letting the little things slide by anymore. And so if it's a little bit like that this morning, Holy Ghost, I don't know what to tell you. Talk to him. So this November, I will have almost been in Texas just as long as I lived in Michigan. Whoop, whoop. So I think I've qualified now as all of my adult life, like literally all of my adult life has been in Texas. The week of my 18th birthday, I moved here. So I feel like I'm Texan. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you that most people say I sound more Texan than my husband, who's lived here his entire life. Much longer than I've lived here. I'm just kidding, honey. I'm just kidding. But they often say that I have that accent that's thicker. Well, because when I've been around it a whole bunch, I start to pick it up. I start to pick up that accent, the words. And it started lightly where I would just say a few words that still sounded like I was from Michigan. If you want to hear a little bit of a Michigan accent, if you talk to my mom, she's got it a whole lot more. And if you talk to my sister, it's like, don't you know? She just sounds like she's straight from the north. And so you can pick it up. But when I came here, I began to be ingrained and started using different language. And I started to begin to even, we were having this conversation on the way home yesterday that now, a shopping cart has become a basket, or I haven't went to buggy yet. That's too far for me. But it's now a basket. Go get the basket. I don't even think cart anymore. Almost immediately I went from pop to soda because the repercussions were way too much. And so I just had to immediately switch that one over in my head. The only thing that I think I really, once in a while they catch me, but the main one is bag. I want to put an E there instead of an A, and so I have to like over enunciate the A to get bag out instead I would say shopping bag. So now you'll catch it every time I say it. You're welcome. But my language began to change. I began to speak differently the more time I spent here. How do you become an imitator of God? How do you start becoming more like Him? How do you start to think like Him? How do you start to see like Him? How do you start to feel like Him? Spend more time with Him. Spend more time with Him. It's not just here on Sunday and there on Wednesday. And I have to tell you, He speaks your language. When I talk to Momo, Miss Loopy, she is always telling me the sweetest things that the Lord says to her. Exactly how she would understand it. Speaking to her about the things that she likes or the things that she does to give her a picture of how it would play out. He speaks to you in your language, but He begins to give you the full picture of who you were created to be and who He is. Amen? Thank you, Lord. So what does the Word say, though, about how we become like He is? Spending time, absolutely. So it goes, let's go on to verse 2. It says, and walk in love. Yes, another love. I heard Patty's word on Wednesday. It was really good. Compassion, love in action. Good stuff. So, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. If we're going to be like God, the Word says He is love. So to imitate Him, we're going to have to allow that to happen in our lives. It is really easy. Well, I don't know for everybody, but it is really easy to shut yourself off and just not have to go to that place with people. Not allow any vulnerability, not to allow any way to put yourself out there. Just shut it off, shut down, and remove yourself from the situation. That's easy. That's the easy way out. That's not ever how God does it. God is never the one who removes himself from your relationship. He's never the one. He always wants you. He always is present. So it says, as Christ has also loved us, one, and two, given himself for us. That's two parts. We love him because he first loved us. We can't do it all on our own. The capacity of our understanding has to grow within him for us to love him more. You will continue to love the Father more forever. It will constantly be an expansion. But for you to do that, you have to constantly be receiving and understanding his love for you. Lord, where do you want to tell me about this? We love him because he first loved us. He gave us these commandments. In 1 John 3:23, he said, this is his commandments. And Chad, I'm going to be jumping over a bunch of scriptures right now. So if you don't put them all up there, it's cool. They can write them down and go fact check me themselves. 1 John 3:23 says he gave us these two commandments. Believe on the name of his son, Jesus, and love one another. Okay? So, believe on the name of his son, Jesus, I believe is the same thing as he loved you first. Why? Because when you come into that place of understanding all that Jesus did for you, you then know that he loved you. One of the greatest ways for you to get a stronger revelation of love is for you to understand what he did going to the cross. All that he paid for. He became, from living in heaven, came to be a man. He took a crown of thorns on his head. He took nails in his hands. He took nails in his feet. He took stripes on his back. He willingly, it says, took these things. He willingly took that upon himself for you. Why? Because he loved you. Because he loved you. That goes back to the offering scripture. He gave because he loved. He loved you. He saw you where you're at and what you have and what you're walking into, and he gave everything for you. And it's not a cliche, oh, Jesus loves you. No, we have to get deeper than that. We have to get deeper than that. We have to understand that it's not just Sunday school, Jesus loves you, and you're going to go to heaven someday. No, this love is a moving force. It's who he is. He is love. He gave of himself for you. If you can get a picture of all of this in your mind, you get greater revelation of his love. And ultimately, unity with his love is what's going to move you fuller into the things of God. Not you experiencing all of that happened, you understanding who he is and what he did for what he wants this world to be. Every drop of his blood was his love poured out for you. And one of the greatest revelations that I think I've ever had is this, that he didn't do it because he had to. He did it because he wanted to. Grasp that. He didn't do it because he didn't have to come give his life for you. He wanted to. It was his choice. He could have just let the 6-day lease play out and shut it all down and moved along and done it again. He could have. But he loved you. He loved you so much that he wanted to pay the price for you. He wanted you. I can just feel the heaviness in this room. I want to start shouting about something just to, whoo, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He wants us to love him because we want to too. Not because we have to. That's why he gave us free will. He gave himself for us. Paul tells us to walk in love as Jesus has given himself for us. The first and great commandment, then. I'm going to talk about all three of the first commandments. The first and great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. That's what Jesus said was the first and greatest commandment. We can't do that without knowing his love for us. He also gave the first commandment of, in the Old Testament, have no other gods before you. I believe all three of those you're looking at basically the same thing. They intertwine pretty heavily together. They intertwine, have no other gods before you. Why? Because he's a jealous God. He wants to be first in your life. Why? Because he needs to be, if you want success. What's success? Well, the second one says the greatest commandment, what he finds greatest for you to follow in his life is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. How does he determine your greatest success? Your pursuit of him. Do you want to know if your love's a success? Are you pursuing him? Are you pursuing him? Is he what the first thing you think about when you wake up in the morning? See, the last thing you think about when you lay down at night? Do you spend your day pursuing him? This is what I mean about not playing church anymore. It's not just showing up on Sunday and showing up on Wednesday and then the rest of the week, whatever you want. No, your greatest success is pursuing him. I don't care if you're a multimillionaire. I don't care if you're a billionaire. I don't care if you're a multibillionaire. If you are not pursuing God, it's not determined as the greatest success. Because what Jesus determines is the greatest success is ultimately the bottom line. I believe when you go for your judgment day, yes, we have judgment day, not like you were bad, you know you're bad. No, did you do what I called you to do? It's going to be, did you pursue me? Did you pursue me? That's your greatest success. And just think about this. If that's the greatest success, think of how much pressure that takes off of you. The only person you're competing against then is yourself. Did I pursue God more today than I did yesterday? Did I go further in the things of God today than I did yesterday? Did I get a greater revelation of love today than I did yesterday? Am I walking more in what he has for me than I did yesterday? And as you continue to pursue him, every other thing in your life will come to success. Every other thing will come to success. Why? Because you're focused only on him. Only on him. And everything else then responds to that. So, he gave his everything for us, and his harvest should be that we give our everything for him. So I want to jump down a little bit further, because as if I wasn't poking enough, I'm going to just take it a little deeper. You're welcome. Pastor should be back in the pulpit by Wednesday night, y'all. So the verse 3 says, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. I have a little note for myself that says sarcasm here. I'm better today than I was yesterday. Amen. Now I am. Thank you, Jesus. Which are not fitting, but rather give thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. You see, every word that's listed here is because it leads to idolatry. It leads to idolatry. Every one of these things, they're bad, they're sin, but they're leading to idolatry. They're out of order because he has been taken from your life. He has been taken from first place. They're wrong anyways, but he has been taken. He's showing you here, do not be an idolater. Do not be an idolater. Anything that you put before God is an idol. Anything you put before God is an idol. We have no problem standing up here singing, he has no rival. He has, you know the song, he has no equal. He has no rival. He has no equal. Spiritually, that's true. There's no one that equates to him. But is there a rival in your life? How often are you picking up your phone rather than going to the Word? How often are you putting your attention on something else rather than going to him? How often are you stuck in the media so much that all you can think about is that the world is falling apart rather than pursuing what the Word says is truth? What are you putting your full attention on rather than going to him? Because that's an idol. It can be your children. The Lord spoke to me as I was going through this and said, your faith can be an idol. If your faith is before him, it's out of order. We have faith in God. God has to be first. We don't have faith in our faith. We have faith in God first. And then you're not producing because you're just trying to make it happen yourself. Yeah, I know. I feel like I should put my head under the pulpit or something. That's how I felt the first time. I was like, Lord, like I really had to say that? Like I really, really need to put that down? Yes. So there you go. There you have it. Thank you, Jesus. Your pursuit of him is the access to your walk in love. Everything Patty talked about love in action being compassion, is because of your pursuit of him. I'm not even going to really go over that again because you did a fantastic job. But I want you to see how important it is for you to pursue him and to love him. And that's how we're able to fully walk in love. We're able to fully move into everything he called us to be because we walk in love. He is love. We have to start there. We have to start there. It's not to try to love God more, but to see his intense love more clearly for you. And the more clearly that you see that, the more you love him. It's reciprocated. I'll use my own. I know Jordan loves me. The end. There's no, he might today, he might not. No, he does. Like, it just is what it is. So that means even when I'm being a brat, sometimes that happens. Not very often, but sometimes. Okay, I lied. It happens more often than that, than I just implied. But he still loves me. He still loves me. And when you realize that about God, it allows you to pursue deeper, see greater about his mercy, see greater about his grace, see greater about what he's done for you. Because the truth is, you're probably a stinker too. And you can see then how much he paid and how much he did for you. And so your reciprocation of that love is even greater. They said that about Mary Magdalene. Yeah. The sin was so great. She loves. Why? Because she saw all that he did. And I have to tell you, I'll just be honest about myself. I mean, I was a bad kid, but I felt like by the time I was an adult, I started to like level off a little bit. But man, the further I go in the things of God, the greater I realize he really saved me from myself, even when I thought that I was doing okay. Like, the farther you get, the more you realize, if you will go with him further, the more you realize how much you needed him in the everyday little things. The further I go in God, the more I realize how much I am nothing without him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We should be in a never-ending pursuit to plunge further and deeper into the things of God. This is to walk in love, not to get in and stay where you are. And ever pursuing. We are ever growing, ever moving further and fuller into the commitment to him. Deeper and deeper into unity with him. The further you dig, the greater the supply. I learned some things about wells this year. And I learned that there is two separate water tables out in Smithwick. And there's the first water table that's at about 50 feet deep. And so when things start getting dry, the 50 feet deep stops having water. But you know what doesn't stop having water? The one that's 250 feet deep. Where the greater supply is at the greater level. The further you continue to dig in the things of God, the greater your supply is going to be. And if things get challenging and the world gets dark, the supply isn't running out because the supply is so much greater in the deeper things of God. This is what I'm trying to tell you. This is the full picture of the further you get into the things of God, the further you move into the things of God, the deeper your relationship is with him, the greater your supply is going to be. The greater your supply is going to be when it's not a matter of if, guys. The word says it. When things get darker in the world, things are going to get better in the church. But it's going to get better in the church of the living God who pursues him. Who pursues him. This, you won't inherit the kingdom of God. I really have to say, I don't know that it means, I don't think that it means you're not going to heaven. I think it means you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God on earth. You're going to walk in hell on earth. It's going to be miserable for you because you choose to put all of these other things before God and you're not pursuing him and you're not continually moving further in him and you're not continually moving deeper in him. And so your portion is what you're pursuing. That was good, Holy Ghost. Your portion is what you're pursuing. Jesus loves you. The fullness of God comes from knowing his love. We see that in Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. I'm going to read it just because it felt like I need to. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. You see it there in verse 19? To know the love of Christ, to know it, intimate working knowledge with it. And then that you may be filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of God comes from a greater intimate knowing of his love. All who we are called, all of who we are and all that we're called to be hinges on his love. Everything you do in life is that. The word says faith works by love. And I think it works by being in unity with his love. Your pursuit of him and going after him is what's going to make faith work in your life. And then you love people. You're moved by compassion and you see things happen. I want to go on to the next one here. So walking in love is pursuing him, receiving his love, loving him, and loving others, right? The next instruction that it gives us is in verse 8. 5:8, Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We are to walk in love, and we're to walk in light. You are to express the image of God. When Adam was created in the garden, it says that he was the understudy. He was the exact replica. The understudy has to know everything that the lead actor knows. They have to be able to do it just like the lead actor does it. They have to walk in it just like the lead actor does it. That's who you were created to be. You are not going to be able to walk fully in the light of God if you don't know the love of God. Why? Because the glory shows up where God is. And where there's no love, there's no God. He is love. So learn what is pleasing to him. And let your life, it says, be a constant proof of what is most acceptable to him. So we go back to our greatest example, Jesus. Jesus didn't walk around saying, what's the next miracle I can do? Maybe today I can multiply some loaves and fishes. I bet that would impress the people. Oh, I bet it would draw a big crowd if I had so much food that everyone could be fed today. I bet it would really promote my ministry if this person was healed today. Maybe if I wash these people's feet, they'll know I really love them forever. Y'all, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Someday I know the Lord is going to make me do that just because it's one of those things, you know, I'm just going to have to break and do it. And so I'm not going to do it till he says it because that's my next point. Jesus heard what the Father said, said what he said, and did what he did. Jesus would walk by people, and until the Lord said it, what about the people outside of the gates, the Gate Beautiful that they raised up? They walked by that man every day. Why do we know? Because he was like, hey, the money people are coming. And the day they heard it, rise up and walk, instantaneously it happened. Instantaneously. That's expressing the image of God. It says Jesus was the express image of God that walked in this earth. If that's the way he did it, that's the way we do it. We hear his voice and we move when he tells us to move. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the voice of God. It comes by hearing and hearing, but it comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Yeah, but that word in Greek is the anointed spoken word of God. When you hear, that's why it's so important to hear. When you have your faith out there for something, hear what God's telling you. Hear what he's telling you to say. Jesus did. Jesus heard. He went in. He walked into the temple one day, and then he walked in the next day and flipped tables. The tables weren't set up the day before. I'm pretty sure it was a pretty well established happening there. They weren't not there the day before. He heard the voice of God and he moved. Without hesitation. Because when God tells you something, he's responsible to make it happen. Praise the Lord. It says Jesus was the exact express image of who he was. The glory came out of Jesus because of his unity with the Father, not by force. He was in complete unity with the Father. Complete unity. He was in a oneness with him. It says that's what Jesus prayed for us when right before he went to the cross, that we would be in unity with him. There was a unity that took place between them. That he heard what the Father said and he spoke it. He saw what the Father did and he did it. That's who we're called to be. We're called to be people who hear what the Father says and say it and do what the Father does and do it. And so sometimes when I stand up here, I feel like, Lord, couldn't I just say something happy and fun? And I have to say what the Father says and I have to do what the Father does. And this is what he said. So if you don't like it, take it up with him. Go see my big brother. I didn't have a big brother like that growing up. I kind of wish I would have. I probably needed one. I had a mouth like I should have had a big brother, but she could never imagine that. The glory doesn't come into a place where God isn't present. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6 real quick. Second Corinthians 4, 3 through 6. It says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing or unsaved, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the light of the gospel, oh, sorry, I got on repeat there. Of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The hope of glory is on the inside of you. When you preach Jesus, when you show Jesus, who is the express image of the Father, his image is manifest in this earth. When you see what he did, when you speak out who he is, and it no longer comes about you, quite frankly, when it's no longer about you, when you're no longer the center of the tension, when you are surrounded in the depths of love and you are moved by love, when you are in unity with him, moving in him, and it stops being about you and it starts being about Jesus, things start happening. Things start happening. We are raised. I was raised. This nation is pushes you to just be about yourself from the time you go into a community, into a school system or anything out in the public for your entire life. That's all they want you to think about is you. That's all they want you to think about is you. God didn't call us to show you. He showed us to show Christ in you. Christ in you. The glory that was placed on the inside of you when you were born again is your express image of God. You were called to show a piece of God. He put a piece of himself on the inside of you to show to this world that you would show who he is. He gave you a call. He gave you anointing. He gave you a purpose. He gave you a destiny. But every single one of those things was to express him. Is life really good while doing it? Sure is. But it was to express him. It was to express him. You should be showing God to this earth. When my children walk on the streets, they don't walk on the streets really, but when they are out in the public, I was like, I don't know the last time my kids walked in the streets, but when they're out in public, they are an image of me. I picked up from Pastor John that when they leave, remember who you are. What does that mean? Remember you're my child. Remember when you leave this house, you're making an example of my parenting. You're making an example of how well you've been trained. When you walk out in public, you're making an example of how good God is. You're the one who's displaying to the world. I heard, I think it was Jesse DePlana say, you may be the only Jesus some people ever see. Do you look like him? What are we doing? We gotta do better. And we are every day. You know why? Because we sit under good teaching. We hear the word. We pursue God. We pursue his love. And please understand, he loves you. No, he loves you. The end. He loves you. It's not a matter of his love. You can do nothing to make him love you anymore. It's not about him loving you more. That's not what we're moving further into. He doesn't love you more. It's you receiving, understanding, comprehending, working with, moving into. His love is infinite to you. You can't make him love you anymore. You can't make him love you any less. He just loves you. So don't take this as a, oh, I have to do it so God will love you more. No, he loves you. This is for you to move further into the things of God. Amen? So don't live according to culture construct of what is good and what is right. Your life should expose darkness. Your life should contrast to the life of darkness. When anything is exposed and reproved by light, it is made visible and clear. Your life should be not, you're bad, you know you're bad, you shouldn't be doing that, that's not it. No. You just walk upright in righteousness with God in love, and they're like, that doesn't seem right. Maybe I should adjust that. What they're doing, I think, is what's right. Look how good they're doing because they do it that way. Have you ever noticed that their work is so clean and they aren't stressed out all the time because they're lying to people and cheating people and so their business is easier? Have you ever noticed? Oh, maybe I should be more like that. As you walk in the light, as you walk in love, people begin to turn. But it has to be through the place of love. I am a firm believer in being what you're for and not being what you're against. Be what you're for. I'm for the love of God. I'm for the word of God. I'm for what's right. So does that mean that there are some things I'm not for? But I can go at the side of what I'm for. I'm for marriage between a man and a woman. I'm for it. And I would rather take it from that side because I'm not bringing condemnation. I'm not an accuser. You can know when I teach you that I'm for a man and a woman if you're in the wrong. Because I can show you why it's right. I am for life. Why? Because the Lord is. That's why I'm for marriage between a man and a woman. Because the Lord is. I'm for Israel. I don't have to stand against someone else because I'm for Israel. That's how I'm expressing. God knew what he was. He knew what he wanted. He knew what he wanted established. That's why he doesn't have to tolerate Satan. He knows Satan has nothing on him. I know what I'm for. I know what I'm going to do. I've already made a plan. I'm already working through my plan. You just defeat him. That's how we should do life. All right, last one. Ephesians 5, 15 through 15. I think this one will be fun. I keep saying that. I'm praying it. Number 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to the God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another for fear of God." We are to walk in wisdom. We're to walk in love. We are to walk in light, and we are to walk in wisdom. It says that we walk in wisdom by redeeming time. Every moment matters. We are in a time where every moment matters. We have to move into the things of God, living purposefully, worthily, and accurately. We need to capitalize on every opportunity. Every time that you go out, you're listening for the voice of God. Don't be too busy to rush through a grocery store if the Lord is speaking to you. Take the time and stop to speak to that person. Go ahead and smile at that person. Go ahead and hug that person. Go ahead and minister to that person. Go ahead and give a word of encouragement to that person. That's the important time. Don't be too busy for a phone call if the Lord tells you to call someone. Don't be too busy for a text message if the Lord tells you to text someone. Don't be too busy to stop by if the Lord tells you to do it. There are on-time meetings that you have to make. Everything else can be pushed aside. Because if God told you to make time for it, he'll redeem everything else back to you. Live life on purpose for purpose. Thank you, Jesse Garcia. Do not be vague, thoughtless, and foolish. Jesse Garcia is a fantastic student. Just so y'all know that. She is a girl going somewhere. She lives life on purpose for purpose. I love you, Jesse. Understand and firmly grasp the will of the Lord. What is the will? Be full of the Spirit of God. Be full of the Spirit of God. That's the whole reason for pursuit, being full. You pursue, so you're full. And when, how do you get there? You pursue in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody to one another, a constant heart of worship, a constant posture of worship, always in the place where he is first place in your life. That's worship. Worship songs are wonderful. I enjoy worship. But your heart should constantly be in a state of worship by putting him first. That's worship. Worship is when everything else, if the Lord says right now, okay. Sometimes it's just okay that fast. I've had where the Lord's like, say this, I say it, and then I check back in, I'm like, okay, I guess that was it. We're moving on. Go back to washing the dishes or go back to whatever I'm doing. We do life with him. We're full. We do life with him, and we listen to what he tells us to say. And when you do that and you're led by the Spirit of God, you're walking in wisdom because he has all the answers. It says that he is the Spirit of wisdom. He leads you and guides you and moves you into all things. So don't take a counterfeit to the Spirit of God. That's why you shouldn't be drunk with wine. It's a counterfeit. If you don't like who you are, because let's be real, most people don't like their situation and that's why they drink. They want to be more fun. They want to get away from their problems. They don't like a situation they're in. It makes their mind disappear. I can think of all of these. You know why? Because you're seeking out a counterfeit. You know who should be the first place there? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. What you turn to, I'll just go ahead and tell off on myself because I feel going right back to this place. What you turn to when things get troublesome is an idol. If it's not God, it's an idol. I was once enlightened by the Spirit of God that Jordan and I were walking through some things, and a lot of things fell out of control in my life, and I knew how important it was to stay on the up and up with my words and what I was doing and where I was going. But the one thing I felt like I could really just let loose on was eating donuts. And, oh, I really let loose on some things, let me tell you, like pant sizes. But it became such a crutch that when I started feeling bad, I was like, I'm going to go get a donut. It's going to make me feel better. Okay, let me just tell you. It didn't. I mean, it did for like a minute, but then when I was done, it wasn't good until I had another one. So it wasn't that great. Why? Because that was the time when I should have took the trigger and sought out the Spirit of God. Maybe yours isn't a donut. Maybe yours is, I'll check out and look at Instagram. Or I'll look at TikTok. Or maybe I will just go do something way worse than that. Maybe you check out and go to one of those things listed. Maybe you just shut off from everyone and just go to a place of escape. That's a tell. Your emotions were given to you as a tell. When those things come up, you go to the Spirit of God. That's why this is here. Because they're seeking out something other than going to Him for the fulfillment of their life. He determines the greatness of your success by you seeking Him. Fun times. Thanks, Holy Ghost. Was fun. So we are to constantly be in a place where when those things come, we go to a place of worship. I remember the greatest success I had in a hard, hard place was I was like, Lord, I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to do in this situation. And I just dropped down to my knees and I started worshiping God. And the people who are around me, they were like, I think she's lost it. No. That's all I got. That's what I have. I have my worship to Him. I have my worship to Him. I have Him first place. I have His love here. I have Him going to work it out. And if I have Him, I can do everything else over again. I can do everything else over again. I can get a new house. I can get a new car. I need Him. I need Him. I need Him. And if I have Him, I can show Him. If I know Him, if I experience Him, I can show Him. I could tell someone else about Him. And not because I have to change their life, because He can change their life. That's what life's all about. If I heard someone say, and it just impacted me so greatly. And I'm gonna try to be as vague as possible with still giving y'all details. I heard someone say that after COVID, people weren't coming back to churches. And when I looked at our church, we didn't have that. Why? Because y'all are not taught to seek church. You're taught to seek God. You're taught to seek God. And so we know that it's not about getting a checkbox. That's not why we come. It's not about just hanging out with one another, though I love it. It's about seeking God together, about having a purpose in this earth. We have to preach Jesus. We have to preach the gospel. We have to speak this word. Not just come up with fun functions. And so I'm so grateful for that in this house. You were created to express his image in the earth. You were made to be his replica. To currently rule and reign. You need to be in constant process of being an imitator of God. You're an imitator of God by walking in love, by walking in light, and walking in wisdom. And that's how you continue to think like him, to see like him, to feel like him, to move like him, to do what he does, to say what he says, to express him to the world. Amen. Lord, I thank you that we are moving into further and deeper things in you. I thank you, Lord, that we're moving in a unity together. I thank you, Lord, that you are first and foremost. You are the one we worship. You are the one that we put in first place. You are the one that we are stepping into further and deeper than ever before. It is you, Lord, that we seek. It is your glory. It is your place. Lord, yes. So I'm going to just pray over y'all. You take this up amongst yourselves. I don't want any hands. I don't want any of that stuff. But I just really feel we get to repent. We get to. We don't have. I mean, I don't know. That's kind of. You take that what you will. But you get to repent. It is an opportunity for you to turn your life back to the place with God. And so I just feel like there's some things here that maybe that have stirred up on the inside of you, some things that you're like, I'm going to get that. So we're going to put that right now before the Lord, and I'm going to just pray about those, and you release them right now. We walk out of this place changed. We walk out of this place deeper and further in him with new revelation of what he's doing in us. Father, we thank you that you give us the opportunity to repent. Lord, we know that the payment has already been made. And we don't come to you because we're begging you for something. We come to you because we want to be closer to you. We want to give this thing up, put it on the altar, give it over to you that we could just move into a deeper place with you and it wouldn't be a boundary in the way. Father, we thank you right now. We come to you in the name of Jesus and we repent. We change our mind. We think in a different way about the things of God. We put you first place. Where that thing was, we put you in that place. We fill that space up with your love. We fill that space up with who you are. We fill that space up with the revelation that you've given us. And we move further and deeper into those things today instead, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are our great pursuit. We love you and we bless you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that your goodness overwhelms each and every one of these people today. I thank you, Lord, that your love overwhelms them today. I thank you, Lord, that there is a great peace among them today. I thank you, Lord, that there is greater revelation like Paul prayed for of your love on them, the height and width and depth on the inside of them, that you dwell in them fully expanding yourself within them. Father, I thank you that we release on the limits that we've placed. Your love is limitless. So, Father, we pull up those boundaries and those limits right now. And we thank you, Lord, that there is a new baptism of love for each member of Victory Church. That we just walk around soaked in love, dripping love all around Marble Falls. That it is just overwhelming, that so much we can't contain it, but we overflow it to others. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you are good and you've paid it all for us. So, Father, we give our all to you. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.